Will he who is helping me with the sermon come forward, please? I have a very tall visual aid today. I will position it for you. I will. Just, yeah, right there. Stick one hand out. Got it? All right. How long can you stand in that position?
I don't know. How long are you gonna talk?
Hour and a half at max.
All right, we'll do that.
Okay. Does it look like it's in his eye? I didn't actually want to put it in his eye. You got the picture? Okay. So, this is what Jesus has to teach us today. It's about judging others. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Here's the critical verse. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? That's really good. You're much better than Vanna White. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Thank you very much. I may need you again later. I may need you later when I need to remove the plank from my own eye. Okay. Seems to be obvious, doesn't it? Did you ever imagine that? You've heard this story before. You've heard these words of Jesus before, right? But did you ever actually imagine a plank in somebody's eye? Much thanks to Tim Strunk, who actually constructed the very shiny, smooth oak plank. So, Jesus' question for us today is, why do you try to help your brother when you need a lot of help yourself? Why do you try to remove a speck of dust from somebody else's eye when there's a plank sticking out of your own? What does the question mean? Now, on face value, it sounds like a nice thing to say, Letha, come here. There's a piece of dust in your eye. I'll help you get it out. Doesn't that sound like offering first aid to somebody? It sounds like a good thing to do, doesn't it? Carl, come on. I know you've got a toothpick-sized piece of dust sticking out of your eye. I can help you with that. Sounds like a pleasant thing to do. Why would Jesus criticize that? On face value again, it's true that if I had a plank sticking out of my eye, I wouldn't be able to see the dust in the other person's eye very well, would I? So just on face value, it'd be a good idea to yank that thing out before I start poking in somebody else's eye. Among other things, I really did ask you to sit down too early, Jake, because among other things, I wouldn't be able to get close enough to you with that plank sticking out of my eye to do you any good, would I? So there are a lot of practical things going on here. But Jesus' questions were never meant to be taken just at face value. There's always a deeper level of meaning. First of all, to whom does this apply? Only with people, only for carpenters? We have a lot of carpenters here who mess around with wood and would get dust in their eyes and might even get a plank in their eye. No, no. No, the clue that it is for all of us is when he says, "You hypocrites." What is the greatest criticism that the world has of organized Christianity, organized religion? That we're hypocrites. And I thought I knew what hypocrite meant. The last time I said Webster's definition of something, somebody came up to me after the sermon and said, "Who looks in Webster's anymore? Everybody Googles stuff." So I Googled it. Listen to this. It's not very pleasant. A hypocrite is a person who indulges in hypocrisy. Okay, I could have told you that without looking it up, right? Don't ever define something with the same word. Synonyms: pretender, dissembler, deceiver, liar, pietist, sanctimonious, plaster saint. Now that was from Wikipedia. Here's the Merriam-Webster definition: a person who puts on a false appearance of virtue or religion. And second, as a person who acts in contradiction to his or her stated beliefs or feelings. I don't like any of that, do you? That's all very unpleasant. But here's a question. Do you know anybody who always acts according to their stated beliefs? Who is absolutely faithful to what they say they believe? I know a couple of people, but not many. Most of us struggle to live out our beliefs. I think the term hypocrite only applies when we pretend something. When we, like the beginning of my prayer, say, "Oh Lord, I'm so glad I'm not like those people." And pretend to ourselves or others that we are holier than thou. Jesus' question applies to all of us. Now, I want us to pay close attention to the question itself. Jesus was smart. He asked this question very carefully. He did not ask, "Do you do this?" He didn't ask that question because he knows we do. He asked, "Why do you do this?" Let me tell you how smart that question is. Did you ever walk into a group of teenagers and say, "Who dropped the pizza on the carpet?" What kind of answer will you get? "Not me." Instead, actually with a group of teenagers, it wouldn't do any good to ask, "Why did you drop the pizza on the carpet?" But why did you do it implies a couple of things, one of which is that you did it, might as well fess up and think about what you did. We, you know that parenting is the toughest job for which there's no training? Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
We learned something really smart from my husband's parents. We learned when our kids did something wrong, we shouldn't just put them in the corner. Or actually, when they were little, we put them on the step, because they would sit on the step longer than they would sit in the corner. We didn't just put them there and give them a time limit. We asked them three questions. This made it much harder. The questions were, what did you do? Why did you do it? And what will you do instead? Aren't those brilliant questions? My husband's parents are psychotherapists. I believe that one of the answers for Jesus is, we do it because we were never taught to properly self-examine. I wasn't asked those questions, were you? Were you ever asked those questions? What did you do? Why did you do it? And what will you do instead? They're brilliant questions. They worked really well, but they keep the kid in the corner a whole lot longer than just a, you know, counting to 100. Because they have to stop and think and make a plan for what to do instead. Jesus was that kind of brilliant. So he asked why. So why do we do it? Why do we see the sins in other people and not in ourselves? Because he's right, we want to take the dust out of somebody else's eye or splinter without even seeing that we have these planks all over the place. And the idea of a plank is great because look how far that separates me from any other person, much less God. You see, that's what our sins do. That's what our faults do, is put this enormous distance between us and interfere with our relationships with other people and God. Why do we do that? Well, we know that there are sins of omission and sins of commission. Sins that are things that we do, that we neglect to do, that we should do. And so those things are usually hidden from us. We just don't see them. And then, of course, there are the things we do that we shouldn't do. Have you ever noticed that the things we're most likely to point out to other people, Letha, come here, you've got a splinter in your eye, I want to take it out, are usually not things that are against God's rules. The things we criticize other people about are usually things that are just rude, crude, and socially unacceptable. They're not generally violations of the Big Ten commandments. They're just things. I don't like the way you dress, or the way you comb your hair, or you shouldn't wear those shoes with, you know, that outfit. Or did you see that he was at the bar again? Now notice I'm putting this in the third person because most of the time we don't actually go, Phyllis, let me take the splinter out of your eye. What we do is say, Connie, did you see that splinter in her eye? Marianne, did you see what she did? Did you see his car at the bar? We don't even do the least ethical thing, which is to go directly to the person. We do the things that are most unethical and go to 100 other people first. The Bible tells us if your brother sins against you, go to him and tell him. And if you don't get satisfaction, then tell an elder in the church and take that person with you. It's not just to tell the person, but take that person with you and confront the other person. Because we do, the Bible does tell us that we have some accountability for one another's behavior, but it's not about how they dress and all those superficial kinds of things, the rude, crude, and socially unacceptable things. It's about the Big Ten. And most importantly, the Great Commission. So then, if we are to be accountable to one another, how do we walk this fine line between hypocrisy for accusing others, and we do, of things that we ourselves do and don't want to see? There's a famous illustration of it, that if you point your finger at somebody else, there are three coming back at you. So usually when we're pointing at somebody else, we're seeing our own sins. Think about that the next time you want to criticize somebody. Oh boy, is this something I do? How do we walk that fine line between accountability and hypocrisy? There are a lot of things we're taught in childhood that I think are very useful. Nate, would you come demonstrate something for me? I have a question for you first. Are you still taught fire safety in school?
No, not anymore.
Not anymore, but when you were a little kid?
Mm-hmm.
You were taught it? What'd they teach you to do if there's a fire?
Stop, drop, and roll.
Stop, drop, and roll. Good. It's still the same as it was 50 years ago. I'm so glad. That means everybody knows stop, drop, and roll, right? Everybody knows stop, drop, and roll? How many of you could actually do it nowadays? That's why I asked Nate to come up. Okay, would you do it for me? Stop, drop, and roll.
Yeah.
Okay, this green plant is a fire. So you see a fire, you're supposed to
stop,
right? Stop first. Okay, stop what you're doing, and then you
drop.
That was good. I could never do that. I'd blow my knee. And then you're supposed to
roll.
Okay. Stop, drop, and roll. You would really do yourself an injury if you stopped, drop, and rolled with a plank in your eye, wouldn't you? It's probably a good idea to take it out. By the way, if you ever get a plank in your eye, do not remove it. Go to the hospital, let them do it. stop, drop, and roll. Somebody out there is going, what's she up to now? If you see a splinter in somebody else's eye, stop before you say anything. Stop. Just stop. My own experience is that most people know they have a splinter. Most people know they have a plank. They may not actually want to talk about it. They may not even know how to talk about it. But my experience is that if I just stop and listen to somebody and ask the right questions, they're going to tell me about their plank or their splinter. Just stop. And listen. Now about drop. My knees don't work as well anymore as they used to, but the best thing to do if you want to confront somebody else is to drop to your knees and pray about it first. not blurt out the first words that come to your mind. So stop and listen. Drop to your knees and pray for that person and pray about the situation and pray for the right words if you really feel compelled to speak to them about it. Stop and drop and roll. Why are you supposed to roll? You want to come up here and preach this sermon? That was pretty good. You roll if your own clothes have caught fire. You have to look at yourself and see, do I have the same problem? And if you do, roll to extinguish the fire before you try to put it out. Does that make sense? Somebody once wrote a book, Everything I Ever Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Wonderful book. I don't know, I don't remember if Stop, Drop, and Roll is in there. But in this situation, to avoid hypocrisy and still be accountable to one another, stop, drop, and roll are a powerful message. Stop when you see the fire. Drop to your knees and pray for the person who's on fire. It's counterintuitive. We would think that throwing a blanket over them or getting a fire extinguisher or doing something might be the best thing to do. But praying first for the right action, the right words, is important. And then check to see if you are on fire and extinguish yourself first. When you see your brother sinning, stop. And listen, and pray, and roll to put out the sin and yourself. I'm so glad Jesus asked these marvelous questions, because to tell the truth, there are splinters everywhere. And thanks be to God who gives us the solution. Can I hear an amen? Let's sing about faith. Thank you. Before the benediction, an announcement for teenagers. Tonight we are having pizza and a movie, and the movie is going to be the original Star Wars, because I'm leading youth group and I'm old. So it's an old film with a whole lot to say about the battle between good and evil. And now, take into the world your beauty and your flaws, ready to own up to both, because you know not so much what you've done, but whose you are. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.